One more reading, maybe a palate cleanser. This one's from James Baldwin. It's just one line. Not everything faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. So back in 2020, Lisette and I were in Florida, and we bought a home. And in that home, our ceiling changed color. And it changed color incrementally and very, very slowly. It changed color so slowly that we barely even noticed it. Maybe we didn't want to notice it. Well, Lisette actually noticed it before we purchased the house. There was just this bit of discoloration directly above the dining room table, right where this light fixture was. And there was some chipped paint around it, but the home inspection came back clean, or kind of clean. The inspector actually couldn't reach that part of the attic because the crawl space was too narrow, but he assured us he did not see any warped wood. And our realtor told us that it was no big deal. And we were first-time home buyers back in 2020. We did not know any better. But over the years, this problem spot started to spread. And eventually, the ceiling developed its own shadow. And then the chip paint started to peel back and expand. And even though there was no bare wood, you could start to see these lines from the slats in the attic overhead. And one day, Lisette and I turned to one another and admitted what maybe we had known all along. We had a leak, and we needed a new roof. Friends, today marks week 3 on an 8-week series on the book of Revelation, and today's scripture picks up exactly where last week's left off. Last week, we went out looking for lions. We expected a conqueror. We expected something loud and terrifying. We expected something that looked like power, and instead, we found a lamb. And we said, that's your orientation, this lamb. Start there. Keep your eyes on the lamb. This week, I want us to hold on to that orientation, because now that we are standing beside the lamb, now that we are centered with the lamb, we are ready to see as the lamb sees. We are ready to face the leak head on. But before we look at what spills out, just a quick reminder of what we are reading and what we are not reading. Revelation is, at its heart, a letter from a person to churches. That is what Revelation is. Revelation is also an act of imaginative civil resistance in the face of an empire. And our author, John, was exiled by that empire. And so he is leaning on coded language for the simple fact that he does not want his letter to be intercepted by the Roman government. He wants it to get through. He wants these churches to read his letters. And so then Revelation is not a literal description of what is going to happen during the end times. It's not a clean one for one. And it's important that we name that now, because Revelation 6 has some terrifying imagery. And most of the predominant readings of Revelation lean on this imagery to scare us straight into repenting now or else. But this one-to-one end times prophesying only developed over the past 200 years or so. Before that, you have 1,800 years, the majority of the history of this book, of people reading Revelation differently. And so I'm going to ask you to hold on to whatever you may know before, but hold on to it loosely and alongside this frame that we have. We are dealing with, at its heart, an empire and churches, a lion and a lamb. In the scripture, the lamb is holding a scroll that has been sealed shut. The scroll has 7 seals. And as the lamb breaks them open one by one, this image of a leak comes rushing back. It begins as a slow trickle, and then it becomes a small crack, and then another, and then before you know it, you have a problem that cannot be fixed with a little bit of duct tape and spackle. And if you were paying any attention earlier, you may have picked up on the fact that what spills out is not all that pretty. It's kind of ugly. It's loud. It's arresting. The first seal breaks, and out rides a white horse. It's a conqueror. It's an empire doing what empires do, expanding, consuming, manifesting destiny as it goes. Lamb flicks open the second seal, a red horse, war, the peace that Rome has promised, the Pax Romana, this great imperial gift which requires a sword to maintain and always does. The greatest empires often have the greatest militaries, same today as ever. The third seal now bursts free, and we get this black horse, and it's carrying scales, and it says this stuff about wheat, a day's labor for a day's bread is basically what it amounts to. Not enough to stay full, but enough to stay dependent. Work all day and come up just a little bit short anyway. It's the economics of empire now laid bare. Class inequality, racial inequality, blatant exploitation. This third seal is not ancient history. It is leaking now, just like all of the others, and it is leaking everywhere. Now the fourth seal unlocks, and we see a pale horse, death. Death not as an anomaly, but death as an outcome. Death as this predictable destination for a road already paved by the other horses. Four seals here, four horses, four ways of saying the same thing. The empire is broken. More than that, the world is broken. And this is what the sealing looks like. When you finally admit that there is a leak. I had a nice conversation with someone from Westminster a couple months ago. I won't tell you where we were when this story happens, but as we started talking, a cockroach walked right in between us on the wall, and it was like eye level, like directly between our faces, about a foot away. And I had only been here at Westminster for a couple months, and I didn't want anyone to think any less of me if I took care of it. And so I just ignored it and just kept on talking. We both ignored this moving cockroach about a foot away from our faces as we held like a solid 10-minute conversation. And it kept moving, and I've got to acknowledge it. So I finally just acknowledged the thing and said, I'm just pretending it doesn't exist. And without missing a beat, he responded, we're good at that, we're white. Friends, there's a certain amount of privilege in pretending we cannot see the leak, in choosing to ignore the empire, and in keeping the scrolls sealed. Yet as we stand beside the Lamb, we cannot help but look. This is what the Lamb does. The Lamb forces us to acknowledge what has been there all along. There's a shift here with the leak exposed. Seals 5 and 6 are a bit darker than the others. They're more brooding. Souls are slaughtered. A blood moon appears. Mountains get plucked off the earth. Everything gets flattened. This feels like Revelation. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like the end of things. It's surreal, and more than being surreal, it's unnatural. And that's kind of the point. It is unnatural, what's going on. The first four seals describe an empire that grinds up bodies and spits them out. The fifth and sixth say this does not just hurt people, it damages everything. It flattens mountains. Even the moon bleeds. The whole of creation is leaking. The whole of creation is crying out. This is not how things are supposed to be. In verse 10, the people cry out, they say, how long, God, must we suffer? Look at what's become of this world. How long must it stay this way? It's a familiar cry. A couple months ago, I attended a training on peaceful protest, and it was using the framework of Dr. King, and we came to one of his famous quotes. The quote is, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And after that quote was shared, someone in the room raised his hand. And by this point in the meeting, things were really, really heavy in this room. We had talked about all sorts of difficult topics. We had talked about racism. We had talked about voter suppression. We talked about war. And all throughout this training, Dr. King, there was a rap lyric playing in my head, just because my head is unique. A guy by the name of Ad2, the lyric goes, "They want us to be peaceful, but we see what being peaceful do. Want me to be like Dr. King, but y'all killed him too." So this guy raises his hand, and he says, "I've heard that quote a lot, that quote about the arc of the universe bending toward justice, but does it really? Because these days it doesn't feel that way." And it was maybe the most honest statement in the whole room, the whole day. Same words as the scripture, "How long, God, must we suffer? The arc of the universe is long. How long is it? How long must it be? Because right now, I can't even see the bend, and from my angle, it seems to be going the wrong way. How long, God?" This verse 10 question comes before everything crumbles. The moon bleeds, stars fall out of the sky. Then in verse 15, suddenly something switches. The kings and the magnates and the generals and the rich and the powerful, those that have been breaking the bodies, suddenly stop. They begin to tremble. They hide. They flee. They call out upon these tumbling rocks and they say, "Fall on us, because being crushed alive would be better than the wrath of this little lamb." Something has shifted here, something unseen. Everything is quaking. It's this moment of change, but we don't know yet what this change is going to look like. The rich are terrified. The poor are terrified. The people under a suddenly starless sky are still asking, "How long?" The people crushed under the weight of empire are asking, "How long?" We are still asking, "How long? How long is this ark really?" And John doesn't answer. Question gets asked. John doesn't answer. He hands the people a white robe and says, "Rest a little longer," which is either the most comforting or the most devastating thing you can say to someone who is actively suffering. Meanwhile, the lamb remains still. Exactly where we left it last week. Not triumphant, not loud, just there. Unflinching, refusing to look away from this world that is falling apart, refusing to look away from this suffering. Until the Lamb finally says, once and for all, it is time to take care of this leak. Not everything faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. The Lamb forces us to face what we have been ignoring. The kings in their caves, the cockroach on the wall, all that power, all that empire, and at the end of it, they are too cowardly to even look at the Lamb. The lions are afraid of the lamb the same way a leaky roof is afraid of a carpenter. Which means the leak can be fixed, can be faced, can be changed. which means we must muster our courage to look it in the face, to step beside the carpenter and get out our tools and to begin the slow work of repair. Amen.